Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits, making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid.
It's going to be the funniest show ever because I'm all about the comedy and the money.
Baby. How much you can pay?
And his partner, Fede Tappender Stevenson.
From Mexico City to Beef Community Centre, I've got stories that are going to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft. We're getting very close to Christmas, and my Christmas treat is, of course, the same Christmas treat I get every week. It's my man Grado sitting opposite me in the virtual realm. How you doing, my man?
I'm all right, mate. I realise we've got a very big show this evening, or whatever it is you're listening to the show. So I was just going to kind of crack on because I see the first correspondence is somebody putting me over, so I don't mind just going straight into that.
You want to head straight into that? We have got a big show because a good friend of yours, Adam Shame, we know him as Big Shamer, Coach Trip, he is in ICW. He is going to be coming on to talk to us, which is going to be great, great fun. But let's look at this correspondence. Who's first off, a big shout out to Frankie Kyle, also known as Kyle Customs on Twitter, who has sent us custom made Wrestling Daft figures of me and Grado. No, Grado, see, when this came through the mail, I was like, what is this? I don't know what this is. Opened it up, and there I was in my horn. A wee me in my horn, a wee Bobby in my horn. A wee Bobby in my horn, and I ran into the kitchen with my Bobby in my horn, and I was like that. Look, and like, you know, my wife's in there, and my mother-in-law, and that. I was like that. I was showing him my wee Bobby. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing because it's brilliant.
It's a figure. Superb, man. Do you know what I done? I was coming back for the radio, right? And my next door neighbour was waiting for me in his next drive, and he had a parcel. And he's like, this is for you. And he's taking in everything for me now because I'm doing breakfast radio. And I feel dead bad. I feel as if I've got to kind of be a wee bit charming with him. Do you know what I mean by that?
Get him a Christmas kale.
He was kind of like standing there with the books, and I'm going, stay there. I had no idea this was coming. So I was like, took it off him, and I went, stay here, and we'll both open it together, and we'll see what it is. And he was like, oh, no, you're all right. And I was like, no, stay, come on. And I'm not that nervous way, trying to be like, awkward, just going, no, stay there. And I opened it up, and I went, oh, a Grado figure. And he's like, all right, that's good. And I was like, see, I goes, I bet you think that I knew that this was going to be a figure, and I just wanted to show it after you. And he went, what? I goes, no, and then it just gets worse. I'm just going, no, I'm just saying, I bet you think that I know that this was going to be a figure, and I wanted to show it after you. And he just went, oh, cool, aye. I was just like, no, wait, why don't you fucking keep my mouth running, man? Just say thanks. But anyway, it is superb, man. Aye, look at this, man. People in the video Patreon will be able to say, you got yours.
I need to go get mine. Let me grab mine. Hold on.
You can get, if you want to, go to Kyle Customs, Kyle with a K, on Twitter and Instagram, because his customs are shit hot. Frankie Kyle, this is the best thing I've ever received, because he's got the tattoos down to an absolute T. He's got my half sleeve and both arms. He's got the bum bag stitched to it. He's got, it just looks tremendous. I'm not a big figure guy, but this is going straight up in the Grado table gimmick king that I have on my podcast. So, and thank you very much, Birmingham. Let's see yours, Rob. I've not seen yours yet.
Mine has got my tiger mask on it perfectly. My boa that I was wearing in the Wrestling Daft promo pictures. That's my wife's feather boa, fur boa, and it's just perfect, man. It's absolutely spot on. I can't. What move have you got, Grado?
What do you mean?
I've got the punching arm look.
I've not got one of them.
Take a snake arm punch. I've got.
Nah. I don't really.
Have you got any movement?
Mine's just getting any tricks, a bit like in real life. So there you have it. My mate, I sent it in my group chat and my pals, and the first reply was my mate going, that's a rang body. Just because there's muscles on it. And I am not defined one iota.
But that's cracking it, look.
That is superb.
And you see me there doing the punch. If it was a wee straight horn, it would look like a Nazi salute I was doing.
GBL in fucking Germany.
Anyway, big thanks to Kyle Customs for that. That was brilliant. A great wee gift. And my wee lassie's been loving playing with that. And listen, if you want custom figures made, which could be a good gift for somebody you love, it's a wrestling fan or something. If you want custom figures made, you need to check out Kyle Customs. Kyle knows what he's doing. KyleKustoms. Customs with a K on Twitter and Instagram. Check that boy out. We have got an email for Derek Walsh.
This is what I meant by somebody put me over.
Right. We got an email for Derek Walsh. So let me read his email. Hi, guys. Listening to this week's episode, and you were talking about Undertaker's cameos, and it reminded me of something. A few years ago, I think 2015, my little boy Ryan, who was 7 at the time, was going to get his tonsils removed. He was a bit nervous, so a friend sorted a personal video message from Grado, and it was amazing. I think he was on tour with ICW in London, as it was filmed in Trafalgar Square. Grado was telling the little man that he'll be sound and should give all the nurses a wee boot and all the top-tier Grado patter. He was buzzing. I'll never forget that, and neither will Ryan. We really appreciate it. Top, top bloke. Cheers, and keep up the good work.
That's there you go. That's sick of a guy. You know, that's the kind of stuff I do, mate. That's what I do for the wins.
Did you do the video for free?
Of course I did, yep, I did. As I say, I have been considering the old cameo. I was talking to Stephanie about it. I was like, do you think I should do it and just not tell them to? And then just put it on the site, and then if somebody comes across it, they come across it, but I'm not going to advertise it. Or do you still think that's a bit un-Scottish and a bit fucking...
What did she think?
She just went, oh, come on, just put it up and don't advertise it, just see what happens. She reckons I should just stick on a police hat and kid on him human curdy.
Why don't you just do it? Who cares, man? It's like...
Are you doing it? I'll do it if you do it.
I'm no fucking doing it, mate.
Are you definitely not doing it?
It's a fucking Beamer, I'm not doing it. But you should do it. You should definitely do it, mate.
Don't you say it's a fucking Beamer? I don't want it to be a Beamer.
No, I don't think it's a Beamer. I don't.
I would do it,
but it's just, I don't know. It doesn't fit my... You do the video messages. You're a kind of out there guy out there with a... I'm a writer, mate.
Rob, see if you did it in Burniston characters, there would be such good coin to make. You just get the wig to
make a fortune.
You make a fortune.
I've said to Ian Connell about that. I says, Ian, see if you just fucking did Jolly Boy John on Cameo, you'll make a fucking bin load, mate. But
he would. But see, no, it's annoying, right?
Sometimes dignity has to come into it, you know what I mean? But you should do it, Grado. You should do it. You should definitely do it.
No, I'm going to be honest with you here. You just need to remember. See, it's annoying when you don't want to do stuff like this. It pisses me off. Because I look up to yous. Yous gave me like my first gig going to telly. So when I see yous no doing cameo, it fucking annoys me. Because then I think, oh, they don't do it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, remember you stopped me for going on Gogglebox?
Aye. Well, I didn't stop you for going on it.
No, you did. You said don't do it.
I say, well, I did. I says, you shouldn't do it. You've got all your acting stuff going on. I says to you, your acting career will never go any further if you end up being on Gogglebox.
True.
It wasn't like you were on, you're going to go on Celebrity Gogglebox. It was like normal Gogglebox. Mm-hmm. It was like Gogglebox. So you'd have been one of the Gogglebox punters, and it would have been, we wouldn't have done Endeavour, mate. You wouldn't have got fucking Endeavour after
Gogglebox. No, but look at Scarlett Moffat, man. She's on fucking Blankety Blank. She's a millionaire. She's got a big house.
Fuck, mate, you'd be better being on fucking Endeavour than being on fucking Blankety Blank, which, by the way, ended maybe 20 years ago, but...
I'm saying that because it's on at Christmas. I thought it's maybe returning at Christmas.
Anyway,
bring back Lily Savage.
Big thanks to Spray Paint Scott, who has made a wanted poster appealing for Bingo Balance. A Bingo Balance wanted poster on our quest to get him on the show. If you have any details of Bingo Balance's whereabouts, please get in touch. We will make this happen. And we'll be making a public appeal next week for Bingo Balance if we get any joy on that front. Stephen has been in touch after last week's episode when Grado revealed he wanted his future bride to walk down the aisle to a violin version of Like a Prayer. And says, I can picture as Grado listening to a violin cover his theme tune, crying into a packet of Monster Munch, thinking of that time he was in TNA. Why would he be crying into a packet of Monster Munch, you cheeky bastard?
This is, I don't know how to take this bit of correspondence.
It's a bit of cheek, isn't it?
Greeting into my fucking packet of Monster Munch. I was in TNA, my way.
Don't you
It's like everybody just has to fat shame me. It's like, the breakfast this morning, they were giving away donuts. And, like, the competition was you won a fucking tray of donuts, right? But the anchor's gone, You can win your chance to get a pack of donuts, hand-picked, handcrafted by Grado. And I'm like, why is Adelno handcrafted them? Why is Adelno picked them? Constantly fat-shamed.
Quite right, Grado. Quite steep. Never come on this show and fat-shame my pal ever again. Thanks to Karate Warrior 2, by the way, who's pointed out a WCW show in Germany, a TV special in Oberhausen. They didn't send the right version of the NWA entrance song.
Oh, so some
German guy backstage had to recreate the Eric Bischoff sound bites on the house mic. I need to fucking hear this.
Hold on.
I've wrestled in Oberhausen.
Have you?
Mm-hmm. And it was me and Eugene tagged, and we came back, and the guy said he would never book me again.
Seriously?
Just want to hear, see if you can hear this. Can you hear that?
For life.
New world order. Life.
It's going to be a rib, isn't it? That's brilliant.
That's mental. I love that. I love that. Thanks, Karate Warrior 2, for sending us in that. Last week, we were talking about Undertaker's cameos, and we thought we'd offer up. We also obviously did cameos for you, so here's two for each of us. Grado, you're first up. Do this one for Ryan.
Right, okay. Oh, for fuck's sake. And if I didn't Undertaker's voice, well, no. I'm not doing my own voice in case this gets ripped and right. Put on somewhere.
Oh, Undertaker's voice.
Lennon is a Celtic legend and deserves mere respect. These young ones don't remember how bad it was in the 90s.
Beautiful. Here's one for me, for Cemetery Girl 13, for Cemetery Girl 13.
Odorous Lucille is the cutest dog in the world.
That's a good one, huh? Grado, this is for Calzo. You do your one.
Alexa, who is Graham Stevely?
And Stephen, this is for you.
Don't stop, never give up. Hold your head high and reach the top. Let the world see what you have got. Bring it all back to you. Hold on to what you try to be, your individuality. When the world is on your shoulders, just smile and let it yakow.
Fucking hell.
Fucking the idea what just happened there.
I have no idea, man. This is maybe a bad idea.
That's the lyrics to S Club 7's Bring It All Back.
You didn't know that, Rob?
I knew it was the lyrics to S Club 7, but I also know that Disney's saying S Club 7 songs, just smile and let it yakow. You know any version I fucking heard then? Believe you me, I'm a fan. The pun in. Now, this has now become a regular feature every week. We ask you to come up with some puns. This time, we want you to have some Chinese food-related puns, and we've got some, you know, the listeners have outdone themselves.
Did you have a bash, Rab? Because I must admit, I had a bash, and it was, they were shite. And the ones that I were coming up with were like Chinese Buffet Bagwell and
Chinese Buffet Bagwell is really good.
I think so. I thought, I can't go and say that. What else I had like prawn cracker Mishinoku. What else I had salt and chili willy. Chips, but so I went, no, you know what? The listeners are going to bury me here with their suggestions.
Well, let's hear what they've got. Right. Pablo's Vault of Horror, first up. Wait, Ricky the Dragon Steamed Rice. King Prawn Bundy. And Satavi Boy Smith. Yeah. Stephen Prawn Strowman.
That's a cracker.
And the New Age Chicken Boys. Willie says Brawn Crackers. Prawn crackers, so plenty of prawn brawn stuff here. Alan says Szechuan Man Gang.
That's brilliant. That's
good. Liam, Jerry the Peking Lawler.
That's brilliant.
Callum is in with Walk Lesnar. Chris.
This one's the best.
Chris comes in with Colt Cabana Fritter. Big Benny, Black Bean Malenko, Crispy Aromatic Bucks, Chicken Balls Mahoney,
oh, that's good.
And Salt and Billy Kidman. Thomas's The Walk and Spring Roll Express. Jordy Coyle, wait, Salt and Pepper Shredded Keith. Mick with Chicken Chow Main Young. My God. Chris, The Undertaker way.
That's nice.
Cameron with Szechuan Szechuan Michaels. Teriyaki Funk. Spring Rolls Balance and Ravishing Rice Noodles. Bobby with Chow Mamian Sandow. Mark with Chicken Balls Mahoney again, Kung Bo Dallas Chicken, Chicken Chow Cane, Orange Cassidy Chicken, Two Sweet and Sour Chicken and CM Pork. Listen, nothing's going to beat fucking Coke Cabana Fritter.
That was superb.
That's the one for me. That's the one for me. Mm. Coach Tripp, by the way, who's going to be on the show later, go in touch. He's got Matt Noodle. Eric Foo Young. Duck Hoy Sin Cara. Good one. Star Friday Night Smackdown and Charles Stew Hart. If you want to get in touch with, oh, hey, what are we doing next week? What's our plans for next week? Is it time for the Christmas ones yet?
What do you think?
I mean, I'm in a Christmassy mood. I think we should just go for the Christmas one. Let's just go for the Christmas one.
Let's just go for Christmas and it uses time to come up with something for
Christmas related next time. And if you want to get in touch with us about any of that or just random wrestling related stuff, you can get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast, just Wrestling Daft on Facebook, or email us at wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. Now, every week, we like to separate the good for the bad in wrestling. I'm not reading John's daft wee jokes that he puts in here. I'm not reading it this week, John. We're going to have to change the opening. There's big changes this episode. We separate the good for the bad. We bury some stuff and we put over some stuff. Is there anything you want to bury and what you want to put over this week, Grado, in the world of professional wrestling?
Right. I don't think I've watched one bit of wrestling at all this week. I swear to God.
Well, what we have to put over is ICW putting shows out.
Oh, that's right.
We've got to put over ICW putting shows out. Because I was like, when they announced they were doing... they were like, new ICW Fight Club on WWE Network coming up. And I was like, new? And everybody was like, new? What do you mean new? What do you mean new? And they're doing the closed doors show for the Asylum, right? So did you know this was happening, Grado?
I knew that the tapings were getting filmed. I think it was maybe about a month or two ago. So I've not actually seen any of the finished product. I don't know what happens. Have they got crowd noise? Have you seen any of it?
Aye, well, no, they've not got, they're just doing it. It's just very much like the kind of model of the kind of closed door stuff. It was very similar to the way WWE were doing it. The way WWE were doing it right at the start.
Aye, so like TNA, right.
And the way TNA were doing it when TNA were letting crowds in, but just knew it was coming. So it was kind of like that, but so they're back and people are in there wrestling. I don't know the ins and outs of how they're working it, but it's good to see that somebody is out there in the UK getting wrestling, new wrestling product out there. Good for the company.
It's promising, mate, and it's good to see that the boys are now starting to get work, and slowly but surely, especially with this Pfizer vaccine being thing we did there, and it's going to be rolled out next week. So,
are you going to have it? You're going to be getting it ASAP.
I will be getting it. I should be getting it. I'm on the front line as a breakfast DJ, so I should should be entitled to a wee jig up by the end of the year.
Aye, that would be good, wouldn't it? It would be brilliant. Can't wait. New John wants to put over ICW themselves and their new setup on the WWE Network. One day we can get the crowds back. I'm sure we will one day if you all take your vaccines like good boys and girls. And John wants to also bury Jeff Hardy, the Swanton, and smacking the back of his head off the steps. Has Jeff Hardy been jumping about like a dafty again?
Yeah, it was on Raw. It looked like a Serian. He's all right now, though.
Fucking hell, man.
Story's life, innit?
He's probably about 50, right?
He's in his 40s.
He's in his
40s. We need to find out what Jeff Hardy's age is, man. That's mental. What is his age?
I'm on it.
I'm going to guess he's 44.
I'm going to guess that he's 43, and he is 43.
Has he?
Aye, 31st of August. He died the day that... He died? No, he was born the same date as Princess Diana passed, so...
What?
Princess Diana died on the 31st of August. But he was born 20 years earlier. So he was 20.
Right, okay.
He was 20 the day that Princess Diana died. He was on his 20th.
Wow, man, there you go. There's a wee fact for everybody. I'm not worried about Jeff Hardy now, because I could date swantons and all that. I'm the same age as him, and I could date and smack my head off the steps, and I'd be fine. Willie wants to put over Kevin Owens at the end of SmackDown, even though he and Roman have feuded before. It still feels fresh now. I really like Kevin Owens. I do really like Kevin Owens, but here's my problem is this, and this, I know it's always a terrible thing to say, but you look at Roman and Kevin Owens and you just think to yourself, Roman can fucking smash that guy.
Thanks, huh?
Oh, fuck aye.
I don't know.
Roman's just dismantle this guy.
I don't know, but I have this constant, I mean, I love watching Kevin Owens wrestle, but I have this constant feeling, you know that feeling? It just feels like he's always in a mood with something. Do you know what I mean? Like when he's on Twitter or whatever, like, I feel as if it looks as if he's a mega stressed out guy. It looks as if he's got a lot of weight in his shoulders and he's got a lot of stress and he's got a point to prove every time he's on the telly. That's the thing where I get, what do you call that? What do you call that word? That's the impression I get with him.
The impression. I just kind of feel like when Kevin Owens is in the ring with a guy that's smaller than him, he's like second to none, I think. You know what I mean? He plays that part beautifully well. Of being, you know, particularly when he's a heel. I love him when he's a heel in the ring with a smaller guy like a Daniel Bryan or a Sami Zayn or whatever. I think that's perfect for him. But sometimes just when he's in the ring with a guy like Roman Reigns, who looks like, I think it's just a mismatch because Roman Reigns looks like the traditional WWE superstar, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's always a wee bit of a leap for me.
I think it's fresh to have somebody that looks like that on wrestling.
I know, I'm not arguing, I don't have any problem with somebody that looks like that. I'm just meaning.
What are you laughing at, John?
Why do you think you have someone looking like that in the wrestling grade? I wonder. I just don't know why. I mean,
what's that with a belly, man?
What I would say, WWE need more guys that look like Kevin Owens grade. Well, that's what I would say.
Absolutely, man. I'll be T-shirt workers, hashtag T-shirt workers.
And Willie wants to bury Matt Hardy turning heel when they build on the
even Bingo Barnes isn't he wear a t-shirt, you know what I mean? Sorry.
Matt Hardy's turned heel, by the way.
Oh, cool.
It just happened. Stevie, by the way, on that subject, wants to bury AEW. He says it's just so fucking bad. I don't get the big deal with it. How did you put on ITV2? Right enough, they haven't a clue how to put on a wrestling show. They had a good thing with World of Sport Wrestling and they blew it. Stop fucking sucking up Grado's arse. Stop sucking up Grado's arse.
He's right. But I remember the day that AEW, because we were still like, we're going to get a second series. I was like back and forth with the guy for ITV. It looks good. And then see when I see ITV, we're putting on AEW. I went, there's fucking no point even texting this cunt back, is there?
Christ. And Stevie wants to put over ICW on the WWE Network as well. A lot of love for ICW this week. Dan wants to put over Kevin Owens on NXT to start. His commentary spot of, hey, that's Candice, we're friends. Hi, Candice, as Candice LeRae is getting thrown into the announce table. She must be busy. Then following it with taking the piss out of all the tropes when he was doing the Kevin Owens show. Dan just loves Kevin Owens. Dan, why don't you fucking go and marry Kevin Owens if you love him that much? But yeah, it's good. He's a hell of a talker as well, Kevin Owens. Hell of a wrestler. Hell of a talker, hell of a mover for a big guy, you know? Mm-hmm. Total package, almost. Well, kind of.
Big total package.
Bronze Cello wants to put her Jey Uso and Roman Reigns, of course. Best thing gone, maybe the new and the WWE. New ICW content in the network, he's happy about that as well. And NWA is back on Tuesday. I bet Rab is as excited as I am about that one. He says, yes, I am very excited, but I am going to hold fire until I see exactly what it is they produce. Keith wants to bury the fact that loads of people had to come out and help Cody after a 53-year-old man put a submission move on him. And he wants to put Lance Archer on the babyface. He thinks it's a bit random, but it will develop new storylines in AEW.
Who's the 53-year-old?
Taz did some in-ring stuff.
You're joking, did he? Oh, I want to see that.
I just put him in the Taz mission.
I get put in the Taz mission once.
Did and you?
I never seen Neil, no.
Did you go out?
No, it was all kind of very. It was that kind of awkward. We done a thing for British Boot Camp and we went to the TNA offices and like they were telling me, wind Taz up, and I can't remember what I was calling him. Like I was slagging his height or whatever, and he just let impromptu put on the Taz mission. But you know what? It's awkward doing stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like he puts me in, and just now there was no reaction to anybody else. like on the show. So we'll like, so you imagine six folks standing there, and then one wee fat man just going. Do you know what I mean? I'm going, this is just pure weird, pure. And I'm pure going, let me off, go off me.
Is this in the TNA offices?
Yeah, I mean, it was filmed, but I don't think it's seen like a date. If it did, there's somebody out there that remembers it. I don't think it did get put on there, but I just that pure awkward silence of a fucking wee guy putting on fucking.
Somebody out there must have the footage of Grado getting put in this TAS mission, so please get that to us somehow. Stevie wants to bury Miro. This gaming gimmick has been horrendous. It's not a good gimmick. Here's the thing. This is going back to my thing about wrestlers being on Twitch and stuff like that. We don't want our fucking wrestling guys to be into computer games and all that kind of stuff. Be like, I'm a gamer, I'm a fucking guy on Twitch. If you're a gamer and a guy on Twitch, yeah, there's a kind of stinky of a loser about you. You know, and I'm saying this as somebody who is fucking a gamer and is mad about games. But I'm no fucking big... I loved Rusev when he was big fucking Rusev, man. Do you know what I mean? When he first came in to WWE and he first stepped up, I thought he's going to tear through everybody here, you know what I mean? Coming out in a tank, WrestleMania and all that kind of stuff. Having sex with his wife in the tank before he came out and all that. And now he's fucking playing computer games and having a wee wank into a wee hanky.
But you're so right, but you know what I mean? Like, who are you liking in wrestling these days? The guy that sits and plays the computer games. The guy, I like him that plays computer games. And you wouldn't picture that guy, do you know what I mean? You would picture somebody like... what do you call him that was in?
You'd picture your man out of the Undisputed Era, because
him that was on last week.
Because I'm going to say it again about the Undisputed Era.
They
fucking four skinny guys. I could knock fuck out of all of them.
Mm-hmm. That's
I
the
could
problem.
Knock fuck out of the four fucking pencil necks.
They are, man.
They are the least intimidating faction that has ever been. Here's one for the listeners out there. Name me a less intimidating faction than the fucking Undisputed Era. Than they four guys that look as if they don't even fucking go to the gym.
You're right, mate. Do you know what? Even the fucking Mean Street Posse look more.
They do. I would rather fight the Mean. I would rather fight Undisputed Era than fight the Mean Street Posse.
But at the same time, they probably know all them mad fucking holds and make you tap out. You know what I mean? But then what are they going to do? And I'm jumping out your head.
I see they four guys are like four guys you would see stoning at the bar in the cat house hoping a lassie talks to them. That's what the Undisputed Era. They four guys stoning at the bar right along at the end because they don't want to catch anybody's eye, cause any trouble. You don't want Big Jester to look at them the wrong way. So they're stoning at one end of the bar hoping that a lassie maybe talks to them. That's the Undisputed Era. Stephen Roche wants to put over the David Arquette documentary released last week. You can't tell David Arquette. A brilliant piece following the redemption of a man who was judged wrongly by wrestling fans. Stephen Roche talking as if it's like fucking making a murderer or something.
Again, mate, as if he's like for years, he's woke up every morning.
This guy deserves his liberty. The wrestling fans treated him like he was a pariah. Don't you fucking worry about David Arquette, Stephen Roche, he's fine.
He's a fucking movie star, man.
Ben wants to put her Vicky Guerrero for doing a promo on Brandy, saying that Brandy only got where she was due to nepotism without a hint of irony. And he wants to bury anywhere that does a best of 2020 when there's still a month to go. Well, I think we are about to do a best of 2020 later in the show. Let's move on to the Patreon. Tell them, Grado.
Patreon is simple as this. You can get more Wrestling Daft content at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. You can even get signed up for a year as a wee Christmas present to yourself. We've set up three tiers. You know them by now, but I'm going to talk about them again. You can choose to get involved at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. And tier one is the Cruiserweight Champion, $4 a month. Patreon only in video chat communities, ad-free versions of all episodes, early access, random bonus content, a video version of the Marks podcast, and you get to vote on what you want to see featured in the list of Wrestling Daft and for the Marks Fantasy Booking Island. $10 a month for the Intercontinental Champion, and you're going to get everything in Tier 1 as well as a video version of the podcast each week. Bonus episode, should I say, up there just now. You can get Rabone Wrestling, you can get the first two parts of the Grado It's Your Style story and the RF video shoot interview I done with Rab, plus they're going to be A new Dafty's gone up this weekend as the Marks argue over the best and worst wrestler match and moment of the month. Sorry, I didn't mean, I was laughing at myself there. And we have some very special ones planned for Christmas, and hopefully you can join the Patreon pay-per-view parties. Tier 3, you're the World Heavyweight Champion, which is $20 a month. You get everything in the previous tiers, as well as a free Wrestling Daft shirt design of your choice, but you must sign up for a minimum of 3 months. Plus, you get to feature on one of our shows as one of our marks, or do a run-in on the show. So if you fancy that, becoming one of our patrons, again, sign up, patreon.com/WrestlingDaft. As we would love to welcome you to the roster.
It's time now for a very, very special run-in, because we're not letting any Marks or fucking Strobs run in this week. This time, well, it's a good friend of yours that's running in. This isn't somebody running in to attack us. This is somebody coming in to make the save. We are going to be reminiscing about the old days a wee bit, the good old days. You will know him most commonly as Coach Tripp from ICW. We know him as Adam Shame, Big Shamer himself. Here he is, running on in, connecting to the audio. His image there on the Zoom is him, and he's Adam Shame. Get up, Big Shamer, laying down some big hits. Who's he fighting there?
The Paisley Wrecking Machine is here.
Can you hear us?
Aye,
yeah, there we go. Fucking yeah, in there. Yeah, dancer.
Right. So, first of all, what do you want us to call you on this interview? Do you want to be called Coach Tripp? Do you want to be called Shamer? What do you want to get called? We don't want to get. Want us just to call you Adam.
Everybody calls you Shamer, don't they, really?
Aye, aye.
You're the Shamer.
That's what I'm known as you. That's my Team Florence name, isn't it? So
it sure is. It sure is.
Do the boys call you Coach Trip now? Like, even just at shows, you get called Coach?
Coach.
Is it?
Honestly, it's actually weird. It's so weird.
That is weird. You're always Shamer to me. What was ICW tapings like? Was you on them?
Aye, I done them.
So what happened? Tell us all about it.
You get taken in, right, and then you get your temperature checked and all that, and then you had to go through all the paperwork and tell them about if you had any underlying issues or anything or any symptoms, and then they kind of usher you out of this kind of wee bake-off tent that's right in the asylum, where you've got to go in and kind of get ready, and you're away from everybody else, and you're in your own wee bubble. You know, when you're away from everything, and you've got your mask on the whole time, and the only probably time I took the mask off was just before I walked out the entrance for the intro. It feels pure weird, right? But see, watching it back, once you put like Billy and Jamie on the tapet, it's fine.
I think it's probably easier for the likes of, I don't know, right? But I reckon, see, because it's a Scottish company, right? And a lot of the wrestlers have got good characters, and they can talk and they can get the platter. I think that's definitely an advantage we've got for some reason. Do you get what I mean by that, Rab?
Aye.
Because it's
I never shut up during it.
That's what I'm saying. And
I was constant.
And that's probably part of watching it. I know you're getting to hear folk fucking all the smack talk and all that kind of carry on, all the kind of back and forth shit with one another.
Oh, I was loving that. I just kept trying to break everybody.
I said that before.
You know what I'm like.
I said that before, though, didn't I? I said it's like this is like a new thing they've never really done before in wrestling. We get a chance to hear people talking in the ring, because obviously Roman Reigns has been doing a load of that stuff, a load of fucking talking in the ring and stuff. Know what I mean,
mate, that's the big one. I think I'd watched Roman Reigns and the talking he was doing in the matches, and I was like, oh, wow. I'm like, there is really a good opportunity for it to pick all this up. Mm-hmm.
You know
what I mean? So like, during the matches we were doing, I was kind of ushering Jason run and kind of giving him a wee team talk in front of the camera, because I knew the camera was picking up everything and every soundbite. They weren't getting it in the ring, so I thought it added to the experience.
Right, let's blast right back to the past then. When did we all first meet? What year was it? I'm shite with the years. What year was it?
Oh, God.
He's obviously when did I came in? I came in, what year would that have been?
2004. But we and Shamer were probably, oh...
You were a lowlander, Grado.
Aye.
Shamer, when I came in, you were in a programme way. Who were you? I'm trying to think what...
I think I was in no tagging with hatred.
You were in a tag team called Total Annihilation.
That's right.
In fact, do you know what? The first time I met you, Shamer, It was SCW, Scottish Championship Wrestling. It was at the Greenock Town Hall, and I was selling wrestling tapes for Cymania. And I'm sure you came out and you bought a tape for your nana. You said you were buying, and you called her, you went, I'm here to pick up a video for Nana Shame. You called her Nana Shame, didn't you?
Ah, like, I asked what she was known as. She loved the gimmick.
She loved the gimmick. That was a was that your first match in Greenock Town Hall, or did you, because you've been doing the Hamelot to train, didn't you? So what was the actual, like, when was your first match? Was it that day?
No, I had matches at Hamelock, but I'd say probably seriously in front of like a decent crowd of it was up here. As a debut, what was that debut? Was it a tag? I think it was a tag match. Probably, I think it was against the Avery Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember them, the Newcastle boys.
Aye, they were like the Hardys, like the Newcastle Hardys.
I remember there was Les, the promoter.
Oh, right. So see during the match, right? So during the match, right, I took one of the boys out, right, and it was, I think it was false count anyway, which for a debut, and I clocked this pedal bin, right?
Aye.
So I put the boy's head flat on top of the pedal bin. And I just kept going as if I was a drummer in a band, just going boom, 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 boom. Oh. Honestly, I ain't got 19 fans in attendance. Loved it.
Because it was, do you remember, like, when you think about it now, right, there was Kenny Morrison who promoted, right, and what did he actually do to promote a show? We had like a fan forum on the internet, but apart from that, was it not just a couple of posters running about the two? And even then, the posters was in like fucking Times New Roman, wasn't it? It was like pure, you wouldn't have looked twice at one of these posters that he'd done, and then we would be surprised that only fucking 30 folk would turn up. And yeah, a big massive town hall, like Greenock Town Hall, which was pure majestic.
Oh, it was a crying venue.
Mm-hmm. But do you ever remember that we promoted there like two or three times, and honestly, like, there's nobody in the crowd. And then I remember, who was it that ran a show? Like, Spinner McKenzie ran a show, and it was about fucking 10,000 folk there.
All these folk with a blow-up hammers and stuff.
Aye.
So when SWA came, you were getting amazing numbers though. I remember it was a decent amount of people were coming every month to.
It did pick up, man. It really did pick up. I think it ended up we were averaging like 400. No, I mean, and that's like the Sir Matt Busby was holding 400. Greenock Town Hall, we ended up opening up the stairs and stuff. You were getting 400, 500, 600. Minging out there and like, you're thinking, oh, the bottom's full, and you were going out and just looking up and the tap was.
Aye.
They were right at the tap. It was amazing, Greenock Town Hall.
But you see, Shamer, tell us the story, right? Because what actually happened, because there was SCW, there was Kenny Morrison, right? They were running shows at Greenock Town Hall, and then it went to SWA. It was like you, Con, and Sabotage. I can't remember if there was somebody else. Was it maybe Magic?
Canyon.
Aye.
Canyon.
What did you do to get the company?
We just went to Kenny's door and told him we'll take the company. It was as simple as that. And I mean, I think all the assets were pretty much all signed to Con's name, so it was a TTFN. You know what I mean?
So he's literally just went to his door and says, "This is it."
Aye. It was. Would you call it like a military coup?
Or like Chris Masters going to that fan and pressing suits for his DVDs.
But at that time then, when that moment happened, when you did you already have the training facility yet?
Aye.
That was already there and stuff.
The training facility was already there. That was already kind of signed, sealed, kind of delivered. You know what I mean? There was only really a transfer of a name, or I think within an hour, there was a domain bought and a website up.
Aye.
Which at the time, that's really kind of all you needed to transfer everything. And,
aye.
I think all the assets.
And then SWA was
the steel chairs and all that. Or the steel chairs and the fuck.
the cage.
Aye. The ring apron. But see how SWA and Bell sell? Like, Rab, you're right, man. It was like every month, 400 fans. But not only that, Con, who was a booker at the time, like, the fucking cards were stacked, weren't they? It was like, say there was maybe 8 matches, but there was like 10 segments. And all, remember, we would just, It was a fucking raw, man.
Hour, big 3.5 hour fucking pay-per-views.
But he did. He had all these big ideas, man. It's at the time when I think about it, look back, man. It was brilliant that he gave us all these chances. He did have cage matches on the show. He did have fucking buried alive things and
he did come out years ago and he said there would be a WWE UK.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, can we talk about this? Can we talk about NXT?
He did say that.
He was ahead of the game, and it was like the fucking Wild West. It was like amazing. But the NXT story is an interesting one. You guys know about this one, and the listeners probably don't know this stuff. So let's get a story told.
Can I just say before he starts, the reason why NXT is alive and well today and making careers because of fucking Adam Shane. Honestly, listen to this, John.
We hear a story, John.
Sitting with Primark jeans on. Think what could have been. Right, so we're kind of wanting to branch out SWA. The numbers have been getting up. We decided we wanted to do kind of an over-18s kind of product, which we were going to call After Hours. But we also wanted a kind of development kind of product that we wanted. I know it sounds very similar. We wanted the guys that were training in the training centre to have an opportunity to have matches in front of like, a smaller crowd and kind of break them in before they go into the main shows. And I mean, we were all at training on a Sunday and the place was kind of packed with all yous and we're kind of brainstorming and Coyne's like, well, I kind of like NWA TNA. He said, so I wouldn't mind it, something like that. Kind of SWA, and I turned around and goes, well, what do you want to call it? And he goes, well, it's the next generation. I says, well, what about SWA NXT? And we're like, all right, okay. Well, that sounds magic. But I kind of took kind of that baby, I took that on.
And that was yours, wasn't it?
Aye. And we very quickly kind of dropped the SWA, but because it was too much like NWA TNA in a way. We had to just shorten it. So we're just running as a Scottish Wrestling Alliance's NXT. And we done like Johnstown Hall. Where else did we do? We done loads of kind of smaller venues, but then the numbers started getting up with that as well. And Johnstown at one point, we got 400 for a trainee show.
Aye.
But that's because we were in the Paisley Express, we were out flying, and I mean, we were all flying, we went out, and I think we'd done it every street in Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were going door to door. It wasn't just doing paper shops and chippies. We were chatting all women's doors and going, you like the wrestling?
Aye, that's the way you do it, man.
That's the way you do it.
So then what happens? Do WWE get they come up with an idea, or do they ask for the idea, or...?
No. So they come up with an idea and they press release it, right? So they press release it without putting the three letters into Google. And I think once they'd press released it, it was very quickly. I mean, there was so many phone calls and everything kind of firing about because we had a copyright on it. We had a copy that was intellectual kind of copyright on it. And I think it was the domain. The domain was the biggie. Because if you typed in NXT wrestling, it was us you got.
Aye.
And I think for kind of Vince, that was the biggie. That's what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted that kind of Google search.
So how much did he pay you? $500,000? I mean, Conscience, you know, he could broker a good deal. $500,000, like lottery, a $250,000 at least for that, for their rights.
He's got a good holiday with it.
Tell us.
No, I didn't get a holiday.
You did? You were in Houston.
What are you talking about? It was demo.
Did you not go to Houston?
No.
So, right.
Hold on. Tell us what happened. The listeners don't know. Tell us what happened.
All right, okay. Well, the rights to NXT, as far as I know, got sold for WrestleMania tickets. As far as I know... I didn't get one.
It's just like, oh, man. No, like I can totally understand. Like, I can honestly, I can totally appreciate the WWE, and they're coming to you and they want these initials and stuff like that, and they want the copyrights. But at the same time, you don't want to rip the arse out of it, right? Because you're maybe thinking, right, well, there could be some sort of talent exchange. There could be NXT UK
15 years
ago.
I totally get that. There was add-ons. I mean, we got John, John Laurinaitis came to like the training centre and stuff and watched our training matches. And I mean, you've got Johnny Ace was in there. He turned up in a limo.
That's right, didn't he do that? He did that, didn't he? He picked like four folk up. I remember that. I wasn't at that. I was a rock star then. I was in President Prime. I was in the band.
Aye. I didn't get anything out of it other than he stole my move and gave it to the Miz.
That's right. Shame over.
So it was a great deal for me, eh?
But what I wanted to say was, like, I totally get that, you know, right, WrestleMania tickets and all that and stuff like that. But I can
remember. I'm sure there was more to it than that.
There was more to that. Come on, it's just funny the way you say it. But there is, like, I remember being in America. I can't remember exactly who, and they were like, and he was asked, like, who's the guy that fucking sold the rights for WrestleMania tickets? Because he was, folk were saying, like, they could have went to town with that, like, mega went to town. But again, I totally understand that, you know, let's just fucking play ball, take the WrestleMania tickets and see what happens. You know what I mean?
So, maybe form a relationship.
What do you think of that, John? Just to interest us all, like, a wrestling fan listening to that.
I think you could have had them.
Well, you know about rights and copyrights and that through radio and stuff like that.
You could have got 50k easy. I think
there was a sum of money. I hope Conzel listens to us sitting here raging. And if he is, oh, I want him to come on the show.
Clarify it, because this is all hearsay.
If he wants to come on and confirm it, then he can. And then it's because Con's got a great story as well. Do you know what I mean? But it's a fucking interesting story that NXT was started with a big man there.
Aye.
You know,
I was going to ask Triple H when I met him.
Oh, was this when he was at ICW?
Aye.
Tell us about that when he turned up. What was that like?
Weird. You know what I mean? I'd been on a tour, right? And I didn't have a bag. And I had my case not, but I needed an overnight bag. So I'm out looking about the house, and Ryan's got this WWE bag with John Cena and all that plastered in it. So I was like, that would be me. So I grabs this bag and I'm putting all my gear and all that in it, right? And I kind of forgets, and I goes to the show, and we're doing in Cardiff, and I've got it sitting near the back of my chair on the school. And Triple H walks into Gorilla, and I'm sitting on this chair with my WWE school bag on the back of the seat.
But you know
how cool I try to play it? Right? They were trying to set up his music, and I turned and I went, "Hey, do you want a drink of water?" And he looked at me and said, "What?" I says, "You want me to get you a bottle of water? You might need it for your entrance." And he went, "Yeah, please." No bother.
That's like, nice.
There you go, Trips.
And that was the very bottle of water he used when he came out.
Aye.
Beautiful.
Finished beautiful. It.
Fuck, that's brilliant, man. What other memories can we talk about, man?
I was going to bring up NXT, but I thought with my school bag, no, that I shat it.
Aye. Time and a place, isn't there? But there's hundreds of wee kind of bits and bobs I want to... Like, I'm trying to figure out what to ask you, Shamer, but I want to
Shamer, do you mind we all went for a steak dinner with Dan the Beast 7?
Oh, yes, aye. I mean, Dan.
Tell us about that.
Well, Dan Severn was there. He'd come to the seminar, didn't he?
Aye, we went to Snooks and Bar Heed.
We went to Snooks and Bar Heed with Dan the Beast.
It's all right, we can plug it. It's shut now.
And it was brilliant, and because Conscience was day and all, he's talking about how to cook steaks and all that. He was talking about how steaks should be cooked and stuff, and I was thinking, I'm thinking Dan the Beast Severn's probably had loads of steaks. And better places than this place.
It was a porterhouse. I think we went in and we're like, it was a quiet night, it was like a Monday night or something, and we walked in, we're like, 12 porterhouses.
Oh, aye. It was amazing.
Aye, it took me about 3 years to cook the whole back of arse of the coup.
And then we were like, it'll be brilliant, because I remember I got invited along. I think it was Conscience invited us along, and it was like, it'll be great, it'll be telling us the stories and all that. But he was just a big quiet guy, really, wasn't he?
Aye.
He was kind of sitting eating his steak, putting their stories. And I was thinking, what could we ask him? You know, you're sitting there all the way through your dinner going, what do I say to Dan the Beast 7? Like, what could I possibly have to fucking say to this guy?
But I'm bad for that. I really put my foot in it when I'm looking around about these kind of people. I mean, we were on a road trip. We went down south, and it was me and Peter, and we were on a show that Raven was on. And of course, Peter went, Peter, I'll drive you to Morecambe. It's on the way back up, going up to Scotland. I'm like, fucking Morecambe's nowhere fucking near it. So I'm like, I no bother. So we drive him to Morecambe, and he's Raven's like, ah, can we stop at McDonald's? Can we have a McDonald's? Right? And then I'm like, ah, okay, right.
He done the exact same to me, by the way.
I'm sitting in the back of the motor, right? So we goes through, and Raven's like, giving him his order, and then he goes, can I have an apple pie? Yeah, give me an apple pie. So they give him this apple pie, and I swear, he fucking kicks off, man. He's like, you motherfuckers, this apple pie's stone cold. This is shocking. It's disgusting. No, no, no. And he's ranting, you motherfuckers, I will never have another apple pie from McDonald's in my life. And of course, then I bust out with, quote the Raven, nevermore. It was fucking billing, man.
He's a worse man.
But that's what I just put my foot in it. I can't help
it. Was that around about the same time? Remember, he's got the hang with tells the flair. That's not conscious. That's not conscious. But that was amazing. When you were bodyguarding fucking Ric Flair for the week, weren't you?
Oh, aye, that's right.
Aye. What was the deal with that?
And Peter had phoned and asked me, I think he was doing 1PW, and they're like, listen, they don't just want any kind of security firm to look after them. They want a couple of the boys to look after them. So I'm like, all right, okay, we'll do it. But I'm like, all right, okay, I need to act pure professional. You know what I mean? And we'll pick them up for the airport, and we're sitting in the motor, and every cunt's kind of driving past us in the motorway and hanging out their motors going, woo! Right? And I'm still trying to, like, can I no-sell it as if you don't know who he is? And then he turns around and goes, hey, so did any of you boys watch WrestleMania? I'm like, all right, okay, so.
Here we go.
You get the green light, you start talking to him.
Brilliant.
But then I ended up getting steaming with him. I made a cunt of it. I fucked it. Well, it's Ric Flair, right? So he's obviously looking for somebody to be drinking with him. So I'm obviously in the same hotel. And, We drop him off, and he's like, so what time will I get you at the bar? And I'm like, what? Geese 30 minutes to throw my bag in. I went in, and we go to the bar right away, and it's scotch, scotch, scotch. Fuck. I'm like, oh, what the fuck's a scotch, man? Right, and then, but at the venue, they're having a wedding. You know what I mean? So then the guy clocks at Ric Flair's at the venue that he's having his wedding. So him and all his mates are all around having for selfies and all that and pictures with Ric Flair. So Ric Flair must have ended up in 80% of the boys' wedding photos. Which is a pure pop. Honestly, it's amazing, but if you have the woman, you'd be raging. You know what I mean?
Some old wrestler.
That probably lasted longer than any of Ric's. We make an arse and we're getting steaming, and then all of a sudden I turn at the bar and I get two drinks up, and I turn around and next minute I'm like, what the fuck was that? Chop.
He chopped you?
Chopped me. And I was like that, pure like that. Do it again. So then he chops me. Right, but I'm bubbling, right? So the next time he does it, I bump.
In the bar?
Right. So I start bumping and feeding, right? And he starts fucking just chopping me again. Next minute, he's wooing. And then he's strutting. So, honestly, so the next morning, my head's absolutely bouncing. I'm going down to breakfast, and Peter's just raging with me. He's just like,
Peter is con, by the way. Who are we talking about?
Yeah, he's just like, what the fuck are you about?
Brilliant. What a story, but man, fuck me.
That's class. So, you know what? I need to thank Shatemer, but right, for obviously, I've known him for years and years and years. One of my best mates, right? But the story, like, my first match as Grado was against Adam Shane because I wanted to wrestle. I can't remember if the first one was in Cowan or Drossin. And I wanted to be on this show. And me and him done videos together and stuff like that, and it was brilliant. But the match that we ended up having, I think, in the Civic Centre, man, where the and we just
is that,
fucking
the one, is we, that went the one being, we went to B&M for it.
I mean, literally, well, we guys in B&M try to find weapons for a street fight, weren't we?
picking up. Honestly, it was like the scene for The Wrestler. We're picking up baking trays and trying it out in B&M before we bought it.
Then we couldn't get a table, so we bought in
an island board.
But the best,
an island board's more ahead of your time, mate.
That's right. But I'll always remember you scudding me during the match over the head by a steel chair. And what was it you said to me, man? I always stick to
it. It bust you open. Right?
I shot myself. So I'd never had blood before in wrestling.
So I don't know. It sounds like the most old pro line ever. You know what I mean? So I go away and I pick him up and I go, "You're bust open, kid. Enjoy it." Then I start potatoing the back of the cup.
I know, man. My mum's fucking sitting ringside, absolutely fucking raging, man.
Is that the one where we did every WrestleMania finish in one match?
We did. We done, and I think we done the "I'm sorry, I love you" as well.
Aye, we done all that. We ripped off every one of them.
How often have you wrestled each other?
Quite a lot. But we first, it was tag matches at first, wasn't it? Because you were
tag matches at first, but I think our better stuff has been one to one, you know what I mean? Because the comedy we've had in it as well.
Aye, absolutely.
We've even tagged. Have you told, what about the tags?
What was that again?
Mind we wrestled two zombies.
Oh my God, was that the match where Michelle Form with the Pong got a pit suit during the match?
And you fainted.
You forgot this? Two zombies, right. Michelle Thorne, you fainted and you forgot it, Grado.
Mate, there was a spot at the end of the match where, what was the finish? The finish was meant to be Michelle Thorne. Do you know who Michelle Thorne is?
Aye.
Porn actress. She was on X Factor, you'll know who she is. And the deal was, because she was gone with one of the boys, and the deal was at the end, I think she was going to get her stun up the top of the apron, get her tits out, and I was meant to faint and fall back and get rolled up. And we were thinking, right, it was an over 18 show, right? And I'm going, that'll get some pop when she gets her tits out, right? Did you know that way? She stood up in the ring apron, right? And the crowd, way, and she got her tits out. And instead of a pop, it was just complete silence. All these men just went, what the fuck? As if, like, you imagine all these wrestling fans, some of them might not have seen a pair of tits before in their life. You've got to fucking think about these things.
Yeah.
And it was just, the whole place just went, you can have heard a pin drop and she's standing going, yeah, we ain't got that, yeah. We ain't got that.
Then you do the, oh.
You never look. I always remember that silence because I was just imagining, I bet there was fans in the crowd that were just thinking,
you're imagining an ECW type response to that instead.
Like a fucking, you know the way they always kind of tease the tits, but we never ever got them.
Aye.
And so they're all like, oh, she's going to get fucking hit. But she actually got them out and everybody just fucking stopped.
Aye, it was kind of the Walking Dead television. Kind of merged.
Aye, you're fucking crazy.
Mental. But that's just this.
There's a million stories we could go through. There's too much to cover for one interview. Mm. You're going to have to come back on to talk about, because there's so much to talk about. I might talk about Big Peter's barbecues he used to have in his garden, mind his parties and stuff like that, and fucking all that. We need to talk about fucking
Oran War
and all that. Aye. So you're going to have to come back on to talk about that kind of stuff. But Shamer's just been I remember one thing I'll say is when I went to SWA, like, you were the most welcoming guy, without a doubt. Shamer, like, the kind of just the sweetest. And I remember when I first came in, I was like, man, that guy, the fucking Paisley Recce machine and your whole gimmick and stuff like that, I thought he looks like a badging. He looks like a badging, this guy. But you were like just the sweetest guy. Still are the sweetest guy. So
it's because you were normal.
I was
normal. Shannon, you were normal.
I was
because
normal.
you go to say wrestling training, you know, attracted fucking some eye-opening types of people, didn't it? But
aye. But it's also, it's a lesson about wrestling as well. Sometimes it's like the guys you see that look like a proper hard man, you know what I mean, end up being total sweethearts, you know what I mean? And that was like, because it was a thing I only found out later with Johnny Moss. The first time, I've said this before to Grado, first time I saw Johnny Moss, I thought to myself, fuck man, that guy looks like a fucking real hard fucking dude. But then, you know what I mean, later getting to know him, realising he was a total sweetheart, and it's the same thing with you, Shamer, you know what I mean? But I think that's why you've been about for so long as well, like, because the boys like you know what I mean?
You never know, you've got to treat people with respect, because the people you meet that are on their way up, you know what I mean, you'll meet them on the way back down as well, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a constant, and I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. Mm-hmm. I love it.
No, I think as long as there's
hanging the boots up, so
as long as there's a Scottish wrestling scene here, I'm sure you're going to be right there in the thicket. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So
aye. Well, we've not got Dave Kidney anymore, so I want.
Dave Kidney, who sadly passed earlier in the year at fucking 90-year-old.
God bless.
Well, listen, will you come back on, Adam? We'll arrange another one to talk about, because it'd be good to talk about specifically the Kelvin Brawl, Orin Warrior. It'd be good to do a show about that stuff.
It would be.
That'd be good.
Aye. Well, right. it's good for Team Florence to be kind of back.
Exactly. Exactly. Correct. It's nice to be back together.
Is that video still up with Team Florence, man, or did that get done with talk copyrights?
No, I guess they're up.
Aye, so we
should get wee toll on for a chat as well.
Aye.
Find that song, that's the one that Mark Coffey was in Japan and he never heard the Bloodlines.
And then, it was Rabs.
Aye, when he come back, he'd only seen your version and he heard it on the radio and everything and he thought we'd hit the charts.
Brilliant, man. Well, listen, thanks so much, Adam. We will be in touch, right, to do that and get that going, hopefully. And you have a good Christmas, man.
Aye, mate, all the best, man.
Thank you.
Well, the female I was asking for, mate.
Aye, give us a wee shout, right?
Right, yeah, love you, big man. See you later on, right?
See you later, big man. Right, bye now. Thanks a lot.
Tatty bye.
You just made the list!
Now, every week you run down a chart of something wrestling-related on our list of Wrestling Daft. You can vote for what you want us to talk about at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft if you become a patron, which you should do. On the run-up to the end of the year, we want to know some of your best bits of 2020, right? So we put best pay-per-views of the year up against best women wrestlers of the year. And with 62% of the vote, it was the women that won it. So I'm going to do my top three here, first of all. Very easy for me today. My number three is... You all know I was a big NWA fan, NWA Power fan, a big fan of Thunder Rosa, who did all stuff in NWA Power towards the start of the year, but has transitioned quite well over to AEW and is doing her stuff in there. I'm a big fan. I'll move on to my number two now. My number two is definitely Bayley. I think I've spoken about this before, about how brilliant I think Bayley's been as a heel. Very, very effective as a heel. I've loved the way she has... I didn't think she would be able to pull off because she was such a big, white meat baby face and she managed to do that full switch to a heel that you really, really hated. And I think her work with Sasha has been brilliant this year as well. She's really sold that whole story well and has had so many great matches, so many great standout matches, Bayley, this year. I think she has been second to none. And my number one, of course... has to be from NXT UK... Isla Dawn is my number one. No, a lot of you out there might be thinking I'm just saying this because it's my niece, so I'm biased. But I genuinely think she is the most powerful and most dynamic woman wrestler on the entire WWE roster at the minute. And I'm sure we're going to see great things to come from her. She's really good. I heard her uncle is very good on the mic. So that's my top three. Grado, did you want to give any honorary mentions here?
Well, I'm just going to give you honorary mention to Jazz, who wrestled this week. Jazz was probably one of the first women wrestlers that you watched back in the late 90s, early 2000s. You went, she can go, man. Because remember, at that point, we'd been shoved quite a lot of the Divas stuff, the brand panties, and you switched to ECW, and you seen Jazz, and you went, she is one tough son of a gun, or daughter of a gun, you know what I mean?
Aye.
She's shit hot, she's... I thought she'd retired, but I want to give a shout out to her who's made the switch to the Impact Zone.
Beautiful.
But all the women have done brilliant this year.
You love the Impact
that's
Zone, beautiful. Didn't you?
That's patronising, isn't it? All the women have done... All the women have done great.
Some of the women have done shite.
They've done well.
I have to say some of the women have done shite this year. What I will say, though, is this top three, every year that passes now, I say to myself, every year that passes, I go... Well, here's the top three, but we've got some people missing this year. We've had Charlotte missing for a fair while, right?
Mm-hmm.
No. We've obviously got the man has been away having a baby.
Paige.
In terms of,
you know what I mean?
Yep. Paige has been away for ages, though, hasn't she?
I mean, the thing is, it's a harder choice every single year because it used to be
bad, it gets better.
Quite obvious. But I mean, you've left out your list there, Rab, when you're Oscar's not on in your list. Io Shirai's not there. Rhea Ripley, Shida.
I don't think Rhea Ripley's had the best year. I think she's been, I think she's been unfairly handled in there. Rhea Ripley should be right up the fucking top of the card as far as the woman goes. You know what I mean?
I tell you who I love watching Nia Jax.
This list is about 2020. It's not about who are the best women wrestlers out there. You know what I mean? It's kind of about who's had the best 2020. And I just kind of feel that Rhea Ripley's kind of fell away a wee bit this year. I kind of feel how she's been handled.
What about Nia Jax? She's not like her. I think she's all right.
You're a big fan of Nia Jax, aren't you?
I love seeing her stuff in folk. I love wrestling like that. It doesn't matter to me. You know what I mean? I love it.
As the years go by, though, like I said, I always think to myself, all these women should be glad Ronda Rousey's not there, because she was absolutely fucking standout when she was in. She was standout. And the game misses her. She was only there for a year. It's no enough. Let's see what the punter said. John wants to give a shout out to Bailey, Sasha Banks. John, Bailey, Sasha Banks, Shotzi Blackheart, Scott has got Sasha as well. Get Bailey there as well. Andy's got Zelina Vega for not getting a fuck about WWE's stupid third party platform ban. That's no reason to give somebody a thing, mate. But she actually, Zelina Vega had a good year. Nasty Wrestler says Asuka was one of the highlights of WWE for the first half of the year. I'm going to argue with that as well. I went off Asuka this year because they had her doing all that daft fucking dancing about stuff.
I know what you mean.
They had her doing all that daft fucking dancing about Kerry Owen. I was like, what the fuck are they doing with her, man? What are they doing with her? Keith Bailey totally reinvented a character that was gone so stale. Bailey's the winner here. Paul says Bailey and Thunder Rosa. Good shout out for Thunder Rosa there. Scott again, Bailey, Sasha. Almost everybody mentioning Bailey. Daniel says, finally, Woman of the Year, Bailey. To be honest, she's done so much that she could be close to Wrestler of the Year. She managed to carry both Raw and SmackDown during the no crowd period. Fair shout to Sasha too for being there the whole way. So big. So it looks like Bailey is the clear winner here, apart from Isla Dawn, of course.
Do you know what? It doesn't even seem like yesterday. Well, it does seem like yesterday. I remember I went to the Performance Center with Finn Balor one day, and Charlotte and Bailey were going to their spots, and they hadn't even debuted yet, and they were asking about ICW and the crowds, and I think how far they've came, man. Ever since I kind of gave them a wee kind of pep talk in the gym and the Performance Center, man, I was just kind of telling them what to do, telling them about hard cams and that. They've done all right.
Gredo, you and Finlay, by the way, are going to be the ones that get called out by the woman at some point for how you've devoted yourself to the business.
A big Gredo, man.
To the woman's wrestling business. Woo! Listen, Christmas isn't far away, so why not buy the loved one in your life a Wrestling Daft t-shirt? Not only that, you can get them a hoodie, phone cover, trucker cap, or one of a range of Grado-inspired bum bags at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. On there you'll find all our classic designs. Alexa, who is your name? Steve Lee. I'm a Mark. Crud, chips, cheese and doner meat, and I'm a wrestler too. And you can even get yourself a face mask to get yourself through the final months of the pandemic. So check out our range at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft now, and make sure it's fucking /s and the /s, or you will be getting your /s with a Stanley knife. Check out the links on our Facebook page or Twitter at Wrestling Daft. Imagine you were a wrestler on your way to the show and you wanted to pop a boys. What's the one story you could tell that would get the grizzled veteran to laugh and say, you're all right, kid, you know what I mean? Get you taken under their wing. Well, me and Grado are jumping in the motor now, and we're going to tell your stories. So let's get this motor started. Hell, I sure that one, wouldn't it, mate?
Aye, man, I'm bust. Good crowd, but...
Good crowd.
You the pop I got?
Aye, man, that was a good match. You're blown up a bit out there, though. Listen, you want to go and grab something to eat?
Damn tootin', I want to grab something to
eat. What do you fancy eating, my man?
Usually, well, I'll go for chips, cheese and doner meat with garlic sauce and a can of diet iron brew.
Well, it's a good wee takeaway. I know it's about 10 minutes away if you hear. Hold on, let me just take a turn here. It's about 10 minutes away if you hear, mate. Okay, I need to tell you a wee story while we're on the way here, right?
Cool.
I knew this guy back in the day. It's this boy called, he was a worker in one of the territories down south. I can't remember exactly where. I think he was a tag champ. He was a tag champ for a while. Worked a few matches with him. His name was Billy Gaddy. And he told me this story once. We were at that show, right? And he says to me that one time, right, when he was a wee guy, he was in primary five, right? Him and his pal, he says, we're going to go into a school talent show. right? Well, I can't fucking talent show type thing. Hold on. Let me take this wee left here. Hold on. To a talent show. And we're doing a duet and we're going to sing. So, you know the band Take That?
Take That, mate. Aye.
A band for Britain. You know that. We're going to sing a song by Take That called The Flood. We're going to sing, you know what I mean? Right. So, they're prepping that, you know what I mean? Proper working up, you know what I mean? Anyway, he goes in already, you know what I mean, for a big, this is his fucking WrestleMania, you know what I mean?
Dennis. Aye.
So he goes in, but his pal never turned up to school that day, right?
Fuck.
Aye. On the day he's meant to dare to hang me, right? So, I mean, I'm sitting in the dressing room, right, after my match, and he's telling us a story, and you can see it fucking means a lot to the boy, right? You see his fucking scarred bit. He goes, my mate was supposed to come in, he was supposed to bring a CD. So, he says, go and hold me that later. Cheers. Hold on.
There you go, mate. Sorry. Well, we're smoking here, eh?
Aye, man, fucking just crack a window a wee bit and just go. His pal never turned up anyway, right? He was supposed to bring a CD now. So Billy was like, I didn't know the whole song. He says, right, because we're going to sing it in parts. He just had his part that he'd memorised, you know what I mean?
Aye, verse one goes to you, verse two, we'll both come into the chorus.
So he's standing there on the stage, right, in front of all the teachers at this fucking talent show, right, wee primary five boy, man. He's like, well, I need to fucking sing something, right? And it was only one song he knew the fucking words to have to heart, right? So he's standing there in front of all the teachers, he had no music or nothing, and he just goes like this. I hear voices in my head, they talk to me, they understand, they talk to me, no backing track or nothing. The fucking teacher's sitting there, looking. He says the fucking teacher's faces were absolutely fucking traumatised. He's like, talk to me! And then screaming, talk to me! Fucking echoing round the school hall, mate. Never won a talent competition, obviously, you know what I mean? The teachers had to keep asking him if he was alright because they thought he'd fucking wrote it. They thought he'd wrote the song, man. Anyway, here's this wee place, mate. You'll get a crack and kebab out of your money.
Saving, man, that was good.
All well.
Right, aye. I'll get for you.
That's it for this week's show. Please rate, review and subscribe on Apple or get us in wherever you get your podcasts. We go twice a week now, so you can catch us on a Friday and the Marks podcast on a Tuesday. Now, a listener of the week, listen, I think it's got to be the boy that had a Colt Cabana Fritter, right, surely? Aye. That's
Colt,
the one, isn't it?
Colt Banana Fritter, Colt Cabana Fritter. Colt Banana Fritter, aye.
That was Chris.
Chris, you are our listener of the week. Listen, thanks very much, everybody, for tuning in. We will continue. I hope you enjoyed the road story. We'll be continuing to make wee changes to the show as we go along. I hope you enjoyed our wee catch up with Shamer there. We'll talk to him again. He's always full of amazing stories. And remember to get on our Patreon, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft, to check out the video version of this. You can see our figures and all that kind of stuff. Kyle Customs, remember, we're okay. And why not buy yourself a t-shirt at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. Grado, a pleasure as ever.
Absolutely. It shall sell!
Up the road, brah.
Up the road. Audio Frontier.